Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Poultry Health Today, and with me is Dr. John Smith. He is a poultry consultant for Electrion in Baldwin, Georgia. Always good to see you, John.
Good to see you, Joe.
Now, you, perhaps more than anybody in the industry, has a lot of experience with no antibiotics ever production. You can talk about coccidiosis and necrotic enteritis and all these other bugs, but it's really about building a strong immune system, isn't it?
That's a very important part of it, yes.
And what are the keys to that in your mind?
Obviously, bursal disease is a huge issue. Chickenemia virus, you've got to do everything you can to control both of those. Just general stress, so careful management, litter management, air quality management, the management of the rest of your vaccine program, giving them what they need and no more. I think one thing that a lot of people don't consider is Marek's disease. We know that disease is immunosuppressive, so you need to attend to that issue as well.
Yeah, you think of it as a disease that causes tumors, but at the end of the day, it's really working at the immune system, isn't it?
That's the cells that it attacks, yeah. Correct.
Now, recently, I've heard that some operations that have eliminated the antibiotic in the hatchery and perhaps eliminated antibiotics in their whole program, they decided that they didn't want to vaccinate for Marek's in the hatchery because they didn't want that needle penetrating the egg. They weren't using the antibiotic anymore, so presumably they weren't going to vaccinate for Marek's. I think they started doing it in the summer months. Some have expanded it to other months. And then they say that their 7-day mortality is down, so I guess that part of it's working, but 7 days does not make a bird.
No.
What are your thoughts on that strategy?
Well, I think there's a few issues to consider there, and the first one is the obvious one, and I'm sure that the people that are doing this are monitoring this closely, but are you going to start seeing Marek's condemnations? And if they do, I'm sure that they'll have to rethink that strategy. I think that it's possible that in certain parts of the country, certain seasons, particularly, for instance, in a very small bird program, you may escape without having a tumor condemnation problem. I know that in some parts of the world, Europe, where they grow a very small bird, they clean out every time. I think it's a fairly common practice, and they're able to do that. I think the other issue, like we said, is what effects might that have on the immune system? I think the jury's out on that. We know that the vaccines that we use don't prevent infection. They prevent tumors.
The Marek's disease vaccines
don't prevent infection with the virus. They prevent the development of tumors. And I think the question that some very capable people, such as Isabel Jimeno at NC State, are trying to address is we know that the early phases of that disease are lytic to lymphocytes, and there is some immune suppression that results. I think what's less clear is how well the vaccines counter that. But the concern would be if those vaccines are helping us control that aspect of the disease, then you're giving up that protection if you stop vaccination. I think the other issue is that you should be able to administer that vaccine in ovo and control most of those potential infection consequences with methods other than antibiotics. And I think most of the people
in the hatchery,
and before the hatchery. So, hen house management, nest management, egg collection, egg sanitation, egg handling management, and then obviously hatchery cleanliness and management. Now, Zoetis, as part of their program of servicing and supporting that machine, in my opinion, does a great job of addressing those issues with their customers. I think that if you talk to a lot of my colleagues, that the experience when you go on NAE and you abandon the antibiotics is variable. Some people see very little effect. Some people see major effects. My guess is that the average is that you'll see your 7-day mortality go up over whatever your baseline is, a half a percent or so, maybe a percent. And with attention to detail, and people don't like to hear this, but a lot of elbow grease, mm-hmm. You can reel almost all that back in. So to me, abandoning the Marek's vaccine, running the risk of tumor condemnations, running the potential risk of immune suppression, which is so critical in these programs, is an injudicious way of addressing that issue. You ought to look at the other real issues with it, which are egg management, hatchery management, cleanliness, sanitation.
Let me switch gears here to another topic, salmonella, because obviously it's a concern for every producer in the industry. I know from past conversations, there's been some indication that you really have to watch the amount of foodborne pathogens going into processing when they haven't received any antibiotics. What was your experience?
That's a fraught subject to discuss. So I'm going to refrain from giving any personal references. There is work published in the literature that suggests that failure to control gut health issues adequately probably predisposes you to more salmonella carriage, higher loads, perhaps greater tissue invasion. So failure to control particularly coccidiosis, failure to control nonspecific enteritis is likely a risk factor for increased salmonella carriage.
And I saw some statistics the other week about a sharp increase in the number of poultry operations that are now vaccinating broilers for salmonella to try to stay within the new PART standards issued by USDA. What are your thoughts on that? Where do you draw the line on broiler vaccination for salmonella?
Yeah, that's another fraught and interesting question. I think we're all becoming to realize more and more that salmonella control has got to be a global process in the business. Our primary breeders, I think, have done an admirable job of supplying us with a breeder chick that by and large is very clean, and they'll admit they're not 100% either, but they're very close. Our challenge then is to keep it clean through pullet rearing, on into the hen house, through the hatching process and the processing. And yeah, in the past, I think we've all relied mainly on the plant. It's your problem. You take care of it. I think that's the most cost-effective and efficient place to attack it still to this day. But they can only reduce what the live side sends them. So we've all got to get on board and try to reduce that carriage rate going into the plant. So we have a number of tools to do that. I think that kill vaccines in the breeder program are very important and are quite effective. Sanitation, rodent control, litter management. But one of the other tools that we've got is live vaccination. And I think there's adequate evidence that it is also helpful and effective. Like all of these other processes, it's not 100%. I think that to date, it tends to have been used when you got in trouble, when you exceeded the limit in the plant, and now this PART standard is going to put increased pressure on that. I think maybe that's been a short-sighted approach, because they are effective, they help, and I think the PART standard is probably driving that. Maybe a realization that we've got to use every tool we can at every point we can and set up as many hurdles as we can is driving some of this increased usage of the live vaccines as well.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch, I guess, as more producers find themselves in Category 2, Category 3 of that USDA assessment. So we've been talking to Dr. John Smith. He is a veterinarian and poultry consultant for Electrion in Baldwin, Georgia. John, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.